If you have a child with type 1 diabetes, whether they were diagnosed 5 days ago or 5 years ago, you continue to have questions. These are the questions about the emotional side of living with diabetes, the questions about how to parent diabetes. I'm Joanne Robb, a psychotherapist and fellow T1D mom, and I've been parenting diabetes for almost 15 years. In this podcast, I'm here to answer your questions about the emotional and relational challenges that come with being a caregiver for a child with type 1 diabetes. Before we dive in, I have to remind you that I'm not a doctor and nothing that I offer here should be considered medical advice. If you want to make any changes to the way you or your child is managing their type 1, please be sure to check in with your doctor or medical team. Let's get started. Hi there, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Joanne.
Why don't you introduce yourself and just let us all know what it is that you're coming on for today, like what question you have.
So my name is Tiffany. My daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes we're a little over 3 months in. Mm-hmm. So we're in the beginning stages, but mm-hmm. Just kind of getting to that place where we kind of feel like we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And how old is she?
She's 9 years old.
Nine. Okay. So first I want to say I'm so sorry. Truly. It's like being welcomed into the club you most didn't want to be part of. A friend of mine would say, the club of the people you most didn't want to be part of, but are the nicest people you ever met. Something like that. I can't remember. Right. But yeah. It's a burden. And I'm so glad that you found your way here so that I can start to provide you with some help and support. It's really hard.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What brought you on today? What would you like to think about with me?
So I guess as a parent, you know, my daughter's nine and she's in elementary school right now. So she's very outgoing, competitive, fairly athletic. And I think that the main concern I have right now, other than like just the day-to-day health things, mm-hmm. are what her limitations are going to look like in the future. I don't want her to be afraid of doing things, but I also need to make sure that she learns that she does have some limitations and what those are, and kind of finding that balance between those things, which seems terrifying during teenage and college years.
Mm-hmm. So you're worrying out ahead, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Tell me ways that, let's start in the present. Ways that you've noticed limitations right now?
So I think, currently one of the main limitations that I've noticed is when she's doing a lot of physical activity, her blood sugar drops. Mm-hmm. So it causes her to have to stop doing the activity. She had an incident recently where she was in PE, and she is very competitive and she loves to play with the boys. And so I think it was a little bit embarrassing for her to be pulled out of PE. It's mm-hmm. what she needed at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think little things like that are already starting to happen. And I just don't want that to discourage her. I had a little talk with her that day. I was like, please don't not do physical activity or not go do fun things or, you know, go out and play because you are concerned about your health. So. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that she indicated that she had a worry, or you put that worry in?
Well, I guess I brought it up, but I brought that up after she indicated to me that she was a little bit embarrassed and frustrated that mm-hmm. she got pulled out in the middle of her activity mm-hmm. where she was having fun. And so I don't want that to be discouraging for her to go do those things, because then she's just going to be disappointed when she has to stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have a thought for you right there. This is one of the things I see over and over with parents with kids with type 1, is that we worry out ahead mm-hmm. so much that we have trouble staying focused in the present at what's working and not working with the child who's in front of us. And I see it in tons of ways. I see it even in your initial question of like, what's going to happen when she goes to college? And I'm like, whoa, 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 she's nine. Right? But I'm even seeing it in this small interaction, because you inserted your worry. Your worry is she's going to stop. She's just saying, I'm frustrated and embarrassed.
Right.
Right. And so I want you to slow down and stay with her with frustrated and embarrassed, because of course she is. It's frustrating and it's new. So it's also a little embarrassing. That makes sense, right? It's not every child feels embarrassed, but it makes sense that she would, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to just stay with her right there. Instead of inserting your worry, like, oh, because you're frustrated and embarrassed, you're going to stop.
I hadn't even thought of it that way. I really didn't even occur to me that I was pushing my concerns off on her, but that's really good perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you can validate her experience, and I have a piece to add to that, and we can talk about how to validate her experience. If you can validate her experience, she's far less likely to get frustrated enough to want to stop.
Okay.
So one thing I want to name about this that's super important for you to hold and kind of a mystery to you right now is that you will figure out better with her how she can do physical activity without having to stop. Part of why you're having to stop so much, and believe me, my daughter is 15. She's been diagnosed since she was 4. She still sometimes has to stop when she plays volleyball, right? But we get better and better at figuring out what the activity is, how to use technology. I don't even know what tech she's on, to adjust settings so that our kids can stay in the game. So that's something for you to hold and to remind her of, like, yes, sweetie, this is, and I want to talk to you about validation, but I want you to remember that piece. Yeah. So what tech is she on, just out of curiosity?
She's on Dexcom 7.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and she's not on a pump yet because she's technically in her honeymoon period, but her honeymoon phase. So she's not on insulin completely, but still just as needed right now until we kind of get through this stage.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense to me. Which also in some ways, ironically, makes it a little harder to manage sports.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to know that, you get to hold that it will get sadder because she will need more intervention with insulin, right? As her pancreas really degrades more. And that's hard. And it makes it easier because if she's on a pump, there are settings, we can lower the amount of insulin. You don't just have to carb her up before she goes to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say this, like, cause I don't mean it in a bad way, but I kind of look forward to that because right now it's so much touch and go and she drops out of the sky sometimes. And it's harder to manage, I think, for sure. So I almost look forward to that because I think that that's going to be, I mean, it's just going to be easier for all of us, especially her though.
I want to caution that I don't think diabetes is ever easier. I think the honeymoon, I hate to tell you that, but I think being on a pump and a closed loop system, which you can't do with a Dexcom 7, but you can back up to a Dexcom 6, that's fine.
Right.
Will make things a lot easier in a lot of management ways, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to wear all the tech. There are other things that will come up, but it certainly will make, you know, her going and playing PE hard, like you have ways to adjust your basals and do things that you can't do on shots as easily. Yeah. So let me back up to validation. Is that okay? Can I do that?
Yes. And I definitely want to hear about this because I feel like this is something I already find myself struggling with sometimes. So yes. Okay.
So tell me why you struggle with it. This is so important.
I think I get confused about when to say that's okay. And then when to explain something or when to kind of say, it's okay that you feel that way, but try this instead. I just don't know. So I don't know what to say sometimes, I think. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. And she doesn't know the difference, but I do, you know, so.
Yeah, that's really astute of you, Tiffany, to know that it's confusing, right? And what does validation mean? Right. Because what you're saying is, I don't know when it's okay to say, yes, your feelings make sense. And what I want to say to you is it always makes sense to do that. It's always okay to do that. It doesn't mean we agree. And it doesn't mean that we condone what they want to do. It doesn't mean we don't have suggestions.
Okay.
So it's a languaging and there's a skillful piece. Let's talk about what a good validation looks like. A good validation starts by saying why something makes sense. So in this case, she's saying, I'm frustrated and a little embarrassed. And so you could say, oh my God, sweetie, of course you're frustrated because it's so hard to have to, okay, of course you're frustrated and embarrassed. Sorry, I was jumping ahead. Of course you're frustrated and embarrassed that you're having to step out of PE. Like that's never how you've been before. And then your next instinct as a parent is to say, but let's try this and let's try this, mm-hmm. right? So what Definitely. I want to encourage you to do is just slide that over and make room right there to get deeper into her experience. So instead of but, because that's always the word we go to, right? Is but, right? Because that's all our worries. We worry, but you're going to, so do this thing, right? What the validation tool teaches, and I'm going to teach it to you both ways, is to say because.
Because, okay.
So if you were to say because with your daughter in this situation, right? Sweetie, of course you're frustrated and embarrassed. You have to step out of PE because. Now here's the trick. It needs to be a poignancy level of 8 or above. It can't just be a toss-off. If you were really going to deeply understand her experience, what would you be saying to her?
Well, I think because it didn't used to be that way, and that's mm-hmm. how you're used to things being,
mm-hmm.
but and now they're different.
Yes. Right. So because it did, and also tone is important here. Getting soft is important here. This is the goopy therapist thing, but it really works, right? Because mm-hmm. if we're saying it too harshly, our kids can't take in that we hear them. So mm-hmm. what you're saying is, right, of course you feel like this, right? Because it didn't used to be this way. Because you used to be able to play and now everything has been turned on its head.
Mm-hmm.
So in the validation tool that I teach, we ask for 3 becauses, which is a lot and sometimes feels impossible, right? But it's a good exercise for us as parents to dive in and think deeply, even if we don't actually say all these words to our children.
Right. Because I know that PE is one of your favorite things that you mm-hmm. go do, and you want to be able to enjoy every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to add something that to that because PE is something that you love to do and you want to enjoy every minute. And it kind of feels terrible that diabetes might be taking some of that away from you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as parents, what I have noticed is that we hesitate to name that thing. We want them to not feel that.
Yeah,
we want them to not definitely. Feel that diabetes is getting in the way. But the truth is that we are leaving them alone with that feeling when we don't name it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can think of one more because, can you? It's a challenge, Tiffany.
because it's also good for you. And I know that you want to do things that are good for you. And I want you to continue to be able to do those things at school with your friends.
Okay. But that because toggles away from her experience in that moment to kind of the solution.
Oh, back what to
I'm,
the solution.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm thinking about okay. is what I'm thinking to address is the embarrassment. Right. You've addressed, you yeah. didn't used to be this way and it's hard. You love PE and diabetes is taking some of that away from you, but she's mm-hmm. also naming that she feels embarrassed.
Okay. I'm not really know what to say to that. I mean, if I thought about it, I could come up with something, but I don't know. I don't know what to say to that.
So try. I think you know.
Because I know that it was embarrassing when you weren't able to finish PE with your friends and you had to be pulled out and go to the nurse's office, which is not as fun as PE.
Well, and because she's being different, she singled out.
Yeah.
Right. You're naming all the steps, but the thing that's the umbrella that those things all are under is like, and because you were singled out because of diabetes, mm-hmm. you got to be, you were othered basically, however you would say that to her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have three pretty poignant but causes there. So if we put that, if we package it up, what you're saying to her is, oh, sweetie, of course, it makes so much sense that you feel frustrated and embarrassed because it didn't used to be this way. You used to be able to play just the way you wanted. And because you love PE and it kind of is miserable, the diabetes takes even a minute of it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you feel like you're different than the other kids. And it's a little embarrassing to feel different than the other kids. That makes so mm-hmm. much sense. What I, as a parent, would add next, the end part of a validation is the part that you already know how to do, is the part of reassuring or redirecting. What mm-hmm. I would be saying is, we are still working this out together. And I have confidence that as we figure it out, you will miss less PE. Right? Because this is still so new to us that it's just really hard for us to figure it out.
Yeah. And then that makes her feel like I've heard her,
mm-hmm.
acknowledged it, and then also acknowledge that we're still learning. We're doing it together, which yes. I think is always yes. very helpful for kids. And that the last part of it, which is it won't be this way forever, or it will change and get better, and mm-hmm. and we'll be able to do this better, provides mm-hmm. hope, which I think is also
mm-hmm.
you know, that's always helpful for everybody.
I love everything you just said there. You summarized it so beautifully, and the part that I particularly loved was that you said we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. For a child to feel like their parent, their mother, is so alongside them, especially at her age, and she's not alone with this, that you see the pain and you want to help fix it, is tremendous. So I'm going to pause here because okay. I'm not answering your original question, but I'm wondering how this lands. And then we can go kind of back to your original question.
No, I mean, it's wonderful because just having a few tools to help respond in the best way, it's kind of empowering, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's empowering because especially when you're entering into something new that's so life-changing, it's a lot of like feeling out of control and not knowing. It's just a lot of like being in the moment with everything, and that can be exhausting sometimes. And so I think the more tools you have, just like becoming educated in everything you can, makes you feel more comfortable, and like it's empowering, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's go back to your original question, which was, what are her limitations going to look like? And how do I prepare myself for that? So I have no answer for you, unfortunately, because I can't know exactly what her life will look like. Most people would say she really isn't going to have limitations. And I think that that is largely true. It is also largely true that that's a bit of a fiction that we tell ourselves, because our children do have limitations and they look exactly like what's happening to her right now, which is that diabetes happens and she has to step out for a minute. It's not my son, who's 24 and diagnosed at 9, went and lived in Spain for a year, 2 years ago. He's done all the things. He's been to college. He lived in Spain. He plays sports, right? All those things happen for him. And sometimes it's really hard because mm-hmm. sometimes he has to step out. Sometimes he has a low in the night. Sometimes he doesn't sleep well because of diabetes. I feel like there are lots and lots of examples out there of people who are doing heroic and incredible things, even with diabetes, like people who climb Mount Everest with diabetes, people who do, you know, marathons with diabetes, all of these athletes, you know, it's all possible. The only thing I wonder about is like going to sub-Saharan Africa where there's no refrigeration. That one I have wondered about, right? But pretty much anything is possible. The limitations are exactly what you're seeing right now.
That's a really good way to think about it. It just doesn't make it seem so big. It makes it seem, I don't know, it makes it seem more manageable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like thinking about it that way.
Mm-hmm. But what that also means is that staying alongside her experience is the solution, is the antidote to the limitations. Because I want to name that I think they are kind of big,
mm-hmm.
Right? They don't feel big in the sense that they don't alter your life course necessarily, But I think they can build up and feel intensely frustrating for the people living them. Not yet, right? In small ways now, but you're helping her. As an adult, she has to do this on her own, and it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so I think this thing of you staying alongside her is the antidote, as much as there can be one, to the overwhelming task that they're going to have to eventually be taking on. How's that feel?
I mean, I feel like I can do that. It's interesting though. Like I haven't thought about it that way, that right now she has a big support system with me and her dad and school, and her school nurse is wonderful, and everybody helps her take care of all of these things. But right, as she gets older and, you know, more independent, she's going to have to take all of it on 100% herself at some point, which is a big undertaking, which is another, leads into another concern that I have, which is just the fatigue of it all. And I don't know how to acknowledge it, but also switch things up or mask it or change it or make it more, you know, doable day to day.
Those are real things. If there is real fatigue, there's a term which you may or may not know, which is diabetes burnout, right? It's real. I think it's one of the compelling reasons to do for our children as much as they are needing and asking for, even if it looks a little scary to us. And so the example I've given probably before on this podcast is my now 15-year-old was diagnosed at 4. She had an older brother who she adored, who had diabetes, and she thought she was the cool cat because she got diabetes like he had. And so she could do things much earlier, right? She could change her pump earlier. She could put on her CGM earlier. She could do all of it. And recently, she kind of stopped, like a year or two ago. I noticed that her pump would run out of insulin and she would have shifted to shots. And it was because she didn't want to do it anymore. So I think staying alongside our kids and seeing, like, the trajectory is not in a straight line, that they learn in an easy upward way. They don't. They learn like this. And there's a lot of moments where we as parents, and you will see when your child's a teenager, like it's very typical for our kids to stop managing well. And so we have that panic, how will they? And it's just a slow back and forth process. And they largely get there. And in the meantime, the technology provides a lot of safety net.
Yes. And continues to get better.
It does. It's a good perspective, Tiffany. It does. And it will, right? We have that going for us. It's amazing. Our kids have that going for them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How was this? Anything more that we could talk about that would feel useful?
No, this has been really helpful and really, I think this is interesting too, because we spend all of our time focused on learning about diabetes and focusing on our daughter and not looking inward and looking at what we're doing. It's almost like, I feel like I don't have time to do that, you know? But it's really, really important that we're mindful about what's coming out of our mouth or how we're handling situations. Or like in the beginning, I would freak out about things, and I very quickly realized that that was not helpful for her, because whatever I was feeling, she was feeling. And so I had to really kind of harness that. But I didn't even have time to focus on that. I just realized it, tried to make the change, and moved on. And so I think this is really helpful, because it gives us a second as caretakers and as parents, to take a look at what we're doing and how we're handling things. And I think that is really as important as all the other pieces of it.
You seem very sensible that you understand that so early in this process. So I would say that you get grace for about a year. It's a really hard first year. I call it the drinking from the fire hose year, right? There's just too much to learn, and you're spinning from the idea that everything you do impacts your daughter's health, which is kind of not 100% true, right? There's this mythology that we have that if we could keep them in tight control, they'd be safe. And you know, managing diabetes is important. I never recommend unclipping our diabetes seatbelt, but every number is not life critical. And at the beginning, it's really hard to recognize that. And after about a year, sometimes a little longer, it depends on the family and the person and the kid. And but we start to see that we have to do diabetes so we can live our lives effectively rather than living our lives to do diabetes.
Yeah.
And it's a hard shift, but it's important. What I think about is what are we centering? And in my Sweet Talk work, what I try to center is the value of the relationship with our child rather than diabetes.
I like it. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Tiffany.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks again for listening today. If you want answers to your questions about parenting a kid with type 1, I'd like to invite you to join our live recording sessions so you can ask your questions in person. Not only will you get the support you need and deserve, but through the podcast, you'll be helping other T1D parents to know that they're not alone with the challenges they're facing. To join one of my live recording sessions, simply go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register. Again, go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register.